Welcome to Puyallup Public Library's podcast, Shush with Debbie, where we interview and connect with people of the library, city, Puyallup businesses, and the community. I am Debbie. I work here at the library as outreach technician, where I mostly do outreach, but I really do a little bit of everything. I'm super excited to welcome our fabulous guest, Nicole Thody, the Puyallup Library's service manager. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We'll go through these questions, and I'll say the number, and we'll start with number one. Tell our listeners who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Well, Debbie, I'm Nicole Thody. As you mentioned, I am the library services manager here at the library, and I've been here for about a year and a half. And I live in Olympia, but I am from Puyallup originally.
Oh, so yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Tell me about your connection to Puyallup a little bit more and the library.
So I grew up on the edge of Puyallup, and I went to Walla Road Elementary.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And, you know, my friend from kindergarten, her and her family still live in the area.
Aww.
So we're all still connected. So Puyallup feels a little bit like home for me. And so I feel very connected to both the library and the community.
That's so cool. We'll start with your questions that you chose now. And the first one is right here. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
It would definitely be tacos.
Oh my gosh.
Because tacos are great. You can have soft tacos.
Mm-hmm.
You can have crunchy tacos.
I know.
You can turn your taco fixins into a burrito.
Mm-hmm.
You can turn it into a taco salad.
Exactly.
And it, you know what? It never doesn't taste good. It's double negative, but yeah. It's so true.
It's so true. Tacos.
I love tacos.
It's perfect. There's a sound effect. Number four is, was there a teacher who had a particularly strong influence in your life? Tell us about them.
So I actually, I hope it's okay, but I have two teachers that I would like to highlight. One from the beginning of my educational career and one closer to the end. So first of all, I would like to give a shout out to Mrs. Caldwell, my first grade teacher.
Yay.
From Walla Road Elementary.
Uh-huh.
And she was so sweet to me.
Uh-huh.
I am the youngest child, and my siblings both were a little bit older and were getting homework sent home from them,
uh-huh,
with them from their teachers, and I wasn't getting any, so I thought she didn't like me.
Aww.
So. At a parent-teacher conference, my parents had mentioned that, so Mrs. Caldwell went the extra step and tried to find homework for me to
in
do.
First grade.
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't a lot, which also made me sad, but my mom told me, be grateful for what you've got. You could turn back time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then, but, you know, really outstanding. She, you know, went the extra mile,
mm-hmm,
to make me feel good. Another teacher from my college career, Dr. Chapin,
mm-hmm,
he was one of my professors at the University of Hawaii, West Oahu, where I got my bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him, I had signed up for an Irish literature class.
Oh.
And, you know, not really knowing what to expect. I'd heard of English literature. I had no idea what this class was going to be like. So when I walked in and found all the lights off, and he had Enya playing softly in the background. And he was reading William Butler Yeats,
uh-huh,
out loud to the class, and he had a projector with a slideshow of his trip to Ireland. And I just thought that was so great. And it just went to show me that, you know, when you have passion for something, it really comes through.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the best classes I had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has it been helpful in my life with the content? I think yes, for,
mm-hmm,
enjoyment,
mm-hmm,
but it really was more of a lesson in, you know, infusing what you love into what you get to do every day.
Oh, I love that so much. It almost seems like it's a type of immersion.
It is.
Into the Irish literature by use of all those other things that he brought to it.
It really transported us from this little portable, you know, in kind of an industrial area of Hawaii into, like, ooh, you know, Ireland and just the whole mood. It was great.
I love that, those stories, both of them.
Thank you.
All righty, let's move on to number five, which is, what is your earliest memory?
So my earliest memory, you know, I think this is probably a gift of having a pretty good childhood, because my earliest memory, I was pretty old. But I remember camping and sleeping in a tent, sharing a tent with my sister outside of Randall over in Lewis County.
Oh, yeah.
And we were on, I think we were on the Cispus River. Mm-hmm. And I just remember laying in the tent and having my dog Sissy, who was a pocket dachshund, in my sleeping bag as a little heater. We'd fight over who got the dog.
So cute.
Yeah.
The perfect shape too.
Yes.
For a heater.
Just coral around your feet. Aww. And so, you know, that's kind of my early memory, earliest memory, but it does blend with many other early memories because we did things like that a lot.
Very. Very wonderful memory. All right, let's go on to number six. If you didn't have your current career, what occupation would you like to try?
So I don't think there's anything better than being a librarian.
Me either.
If that didn't exist, I would have to be an astronaut.
Oh my gosh.
There would be no other choice.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah, me too.
What aspects of being an astronaut appeal to you?
Boy, I think looking at the world from the vantage point of the International Space Station would be really satisfying.
Yeah.
I think actually traveling through space would be exhilarating. Oh. And the exploration aspect, going someplace that I haven't been before. And, you know, most people hadn't been before.
Exactly.
But, you know, just the on the outside of making any contribution to science or our understanding of the world or the universe would be amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Science.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Number seven is, what is the most important lesson you've learned over your career?
So, I think the most important lesson is probably when you're faced with a choice of one or the other, it's always better to be nice than right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's a lesson I've learned the hard way and also seen the perks of doing it the right way.
So, that's a very good one. All right, let's go on to number eight.
Okay.
Can you tell me about a moment when a person's kindness made a difference in your life?
So, you know, I thought about this actually because it's also another teacher. So it kind of leads into a couple.
Teachers.
Mm-hmm. And this is actually a teacher I had here at in Puyallup at Allen Junior High, Mrs. Staley.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I mean, probably everyone has the same story, I suppose, but I was a very nerdy kid and also very picked on a little bit. And so. It was seventh grade, and I was wearing nylons for the first time.
Nylons. I remember nylons.
I have nightmares about nylons, but it wasn't going well. I had many, many holes and runs, and people in the hall were making fun of me. So I skipped out of my art class where Mrs. Staley was my teacher, and I was in a bathroom stall, and I was, like, crying. And she came in. I don't know how she knew I was there, but she came in and asked me what was going on. And I told her, and she ended up taking off her nylons.
Oh my gosh.
And giving them to me. She was, I don't know how old she was. I mean, being in seventh grade, everyone's older, but she did wear nylons under her pants. So she,
under her pants even.
Right. Wow. So, you know, it wasn't really like devastating probably for her to do that, but it was so kind, and I just remember how ridiculous I felt, and then just receiving that kindness was, it's really stuck with me. She did not have to do that.
It was a sacrifice.
It was.
And it was sweet.
Yeah, and I wasn't one of her best students or anything. I mean, mm-hmm. I still, you know, is my art teacher.
Yeah, so cool.
So anyway, Mrs. Staley, that was something that's stuck with me. So, you know, when you can do something, no matter how small, to better someone's situation, you should do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's always right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Kindness. It comes back to that kindness.
Yep.
Alrighty, let's move on to number 9. And these are the questions that everybody gets.
Okay.
What book or film would you like to recommend and why?
So I thought about this because, you know, this is what we, you know, we're surrounded by books and films all day. And
yes.
There's so many things that are so
yes.
great. But I think if I had to recommend one today, mm-hmm. I would recommend the book Stiff mm-hmm. by Mary Roach.
I want to read that one.
It is hilarious and horrifying mm-hmm. and fascinating.
At the same time.
Yeah, she's a science writer, and mm-hmm. this book really details the various paths that bodies take once they've been donated to science.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a few takeaways is that I got from that book was that how really most bodies that are donated to science are elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do crash tests, impact mm-hmm. on your joints or, you know, those
mm-hmm.
types of tests.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like, how would this accident affect a 70-year-old's knee?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's not a lot of young people being donated. So anyway, so
mm-hmm.
it does kind of skew the science, which is good to know, but it's just fascinating.
It is fascinating.
From body farms to everything, you know, so many of the things that we know about forensics comes from different,
I bet,
kind of uncomfortable things to consider. So
mm-hmm.
I'll just leave it there, but you gotta read it.
I do have to read that.
Oh, or listen to it. It's a good audiobook too.
Okay. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
Would you like to recommend film?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
Mind reader. I definitely want to. So, I love films,
mm-hmm.
and, again, my recommendation would change, it'll probably change by this afternoon,
yes.
but, today I want to recommend Night at the Roxbury, because
oh my God, I love it.
It's one of my favorites, and I just saw Chris Kattan at the Tacoma Comedy Club 2 weekends ago.
You did?
I did.
I love Chris Kattan so much.
He was hilarious.
Everything he does.
Yes. So, I kind of, like, fell back in love with his work, and
uh-huh.
so... right now what's on my mind is that at the Roxbury.
I love it.
Roxbury, mm-hmm. Roxbury, Roxbury.
All I can think of is, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Baby, don't hurt me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is our last question coming up. Are there any questions that you wish I'd asked? Anything else you'd like us to know?
So... I think that I would like to say that I would like to share just how great our library is.
Okay.
I mean, it's not okay. Yeah. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really great collection, both physical and electronic resources. We have librarians working hard to make sure that our collections are just really robust
mm-hmm.
and interesting. We have the best staff. You know, each person is unique and talented. They're working hard to bring community excellent and varied programming and just better services that make our lives better. You know, we had a program for job searching and resume writing. We have story times for kids. We have anything you can imagine. We're probably doing it
mm-hmm.
or probably will. So it's just really inspiring to work with such dedicated people and such a smart crew, including you, Debbie.
Aww.
And so I want to thank you so much for having me as a guest.
Oh, thank you so much,
thank
Nicole.
You.
And one thing I would add to your... the things about the library is the creativity.
Yeah.
And it works in all those areas that you mentioned.
It's absolutely amazing. It's stunning to see how sometimes a small seed of an idea can blossom into this, like, fabulous community service.
Exactly. Well, I love it. This is the end of our interview. And, Nicole, thank you so much. And thanks for all you do for the Puyallup Public Library and the community.
Thank you, Debbie.
This is the part of the podcast where I have a staff member from the library here with me to review a book or film. And today I have with me the fabulous Sarah, who has worked with me here at the library for many years. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how many years you've worked here at the library.
So I started at Puyallup Library in 2017.
Wow.
So I started as a shelver, and then I moved up to the assistant role, which I've done since 2019. And yeah. So it's been a while. But I kind of have an experience with all over the library.
Exactly. And that's the way. And we've enjoyed several years of working together at the desk. And it seems natural to be doing this, talking about a book, because we do that at the desk all the time. And so I'm really happy to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
So go ahead and tell us what the name of your book is and what the title and who the author is. And then go ahead and give us a review.
Okay, so I have this manga. It's called Yokohama Kaidashi Kiko. By Hitoshi Ashinano. So this title can be translated as Yokohama Shopping Log. Basically, it's about an android named Alpha. She has a coffee shop in a coastal town.
Mm-hmm.
So this setting is kind of like post-climate disaster.
Mm.
So the surrounding cities have been overtaken by rising tides.
Oh.
So, you know, and there's less and less humans as the years go by, and the book follows Alpha throughout her daily tasks and the people that she interacts with.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So she has a coffee shop.
Yes. So she runs this little coffee shop. She's not very good at it sometimes, but, you know, she doesn't have consistent hours or anything like that, but it's one of her, she enjoys it a lot.
Yeah.
So that's mostly the way that she meets most people is either through the coffee shop itself, or, you know, she's got neighbors, people who are, like, she might see them in the next town over while she's buying groceries and supplies for the coffee stand. So
that's the title was so intriguing to me because it involved it involves shopping. So are there parts in there where she's actually making a list or?
Yeah, so she actually not exactly a list, but she says she puts a sign on the cafe door say, "I'm going into town for shopping. I'll be back in a few days."
Ah.
It kind of shows her navigating to the next town over, so she
gotcha.
Can get coffee beans and bring them back to the store.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And what about, since she's an android, what are the relationships like with the humans?
You know, compared to her lifespan, she's basically immortal compared to the humans that she interacts with.
Mm-hmm.
So their lives are fleeting
compared
to her, so she kind of has to, she's, even though she enjoys it, she kind of like misses those interactions. Say when someone passes away or they move on to another area, you know, she kind of like her owner is away on an extended trip. She doesn't know when he's going to be back.
Mm.
So she kind of has to deal with a little bit of loneliness as well.
Oh, which is not really like an android, right?
No. So she's kind of programmed to have feelings.
Oh, gotcha.
And everything.
Oh my gosh, that makes it even more fascinating. I noticed there's some color on the cover. Talk about the art in the book. I love manga art. Yeah.
So most of the book is in black and white, most of manga, but it includes some color pages. So it's got some other covers from other novels when it was first published in Japan. And then at the beginning of chapters, you may see a little bit of color in there, just to kind of add to the mood of that chapter.
It really looks beautiful, and it's so different.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very simply illustrated, but it's beautiful. Yeah, very easy to look at. Lovely colors.
Yeah. How do you relate to it personally? I mean, what do you really love about it?
You know, it's kind of with the climate disaster plot line, it's kind of like, well, how close are we going to be to that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And wondering about that, reading this book kind of gives me hope.
Oh, I love that.
The way that Alpha lives her days, you know, it's just kind of like relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there are problems that she has to deal with
mm-hmm.
after
mm-hmm.
the disaster,
mm-hmm.
she still takes it day by day.
Yeah.
She enjoys her time.
Mm-hmm.
She enjoys working with folks.
Mm-hmm.
So it just gives me hope that, you know, we can still have a gentle future.
Oh, that's really cool. And I love that you use the word hope.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can't have enough of too much of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Especially with, you know, it's tough these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with everything going on right now, just having a little bit of hope just keeps you going.
It's so true. I love it. So is this one volume, or what would you say about this particular book?
So what we have available at the library is volume one. That's
mm-hmm.
24 chapters of the series.
Okay, gotcha.
So volume two is not available yet, but
mm-hmm.
keep an eye out because it's available in May this year.
Oh, that's a short time away.
Yes,
that's
so
exciting.
You're going to probably reprint the next 24 chapters. It's going to be volume two, more color.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, so that will be coming out. But yeah, just the first volume available right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good lengthy read.
It is. It's a real thick copy of a book.
So,
yeah.
So it'll take you a while to get through it. Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll hold you over until the second one gets released. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so if somebody were to come to the desk and say, "Hey, Sarah, what was the name of that book that you recommended again? Let's have the title and the author again, and maybe spell the author's last name. I'm not sure. Whatever you think."
So the title is Yokohama Kaidashi Kiko
mm-hmm.
by Hitoshi Ashinano.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to find it in the young adult graphic novels.
Okay.
The spine label will say Yokohama on it, so kind of towards the end of the graphic novels upstairs.
Perfect.
But yeah, Yokohama, just like the city in Japan.
Great, got it. Well, thank you so much. This has really been fun, and I think people are really going to enjoy hearing this review about that book. And it's been really fun talking with you, Sarah.
It's been really fun.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to the third and final part of the podcast, where we have chosen a green card that was written in the library by a patron. The title is called My Favorite Thing About PPL Is, and this green card comes from Evie, and she wrote, "Playing in the Imagination Station." Well, I couldn't agree more, Evie. If I was a little person, I would love to run right back there and play with all the wonderful toys and parents that congregate in that section. It's beautiful with all the colorful lanterns hanging. We have moms that meet there with their children and dads too. So come on down to PPL, to the Imagination Station, and play with Evie and her family. This is a great, great green slip. Thank you.